Hello and welcome back to Three Princesses in a Muggle World. My name is Jenny and I am joined once again by one of my best friends and co-hosts. I almost said co-workers, co-stars. I don't know what I'm trying to say anymore.
Hey everyone, it's Amber.
And it feels so weird not to hear Casey go, "And Casey."
Yeah, I always kind of pause waiting for that and I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the podcast that I can't make it to. I always wonder which one of you guys, like, start. And then when I listen to it and it's you, I'm just like, do you guys, like, ever pause? And you're like, oh, Jenny's not here to start.
Yep. We always do that. And then we go, who should start then?
So, yes, Casey is still not with us. She, we said in the last podcast, she is not feeling too well. But we are hoping that she will be back and feeling better than ever when she comes back. That made sense. Anyhow, is one of the people that we talk about the most on this podcast because we love her so dang much, Amber. It just really shocked me, honestly, to see that not only is she in the Harry Potter world, but she is also in the Disney world. And that's really cool to me because I feel like we don't see that a lot. And so the fact that both of them who are named Emma are both in the Disney world and the Harry Potter world is just really cool.
And I don't know if Emma Watson feels this way, but I think that at meeting Emma Thompson and realizing not only did they share first names, but they shared birthdays, I would have been like, oh my gosh, I share a birthday with the amazing Emma Thompson. And I would have totally had a freak out because she's one that you probably know all of her characters and know them extremely well. You just never realized that they were all her type deal.
She's kind of like, she's got a Johnny Depp aspect to her, you know? Like, she just always looks different.
And not only does she always look different, it's she can take on any role that's given to her. She can be one of the best good guys out there, and then she can also be, like, a pretty evil bad guy. And she can take on both sides of that. And there's not a lot of people that can do that. Most people, you give them a role and it has to be a specific type. It has to be a good guy or it has to be a bad guy type situation just because that's what they're better at acting. But she is great at all of it.
What's really interesting to me, and I'm sure everybody has this problem, is you see someone and you see them in one thing so much and they're like the good guy or the bad guy. Doesn't matter. And then like you see them in something else and they're supposed to be like the opposite and like they're good at doing it, but your mind's just not computing it. And it's just like, but you're supposed to be a good guy. How are you a bad guy? It's like, maybe I'm alone in that, but
a perfect prime example, I think, of that is Helen Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yeah, Bona something.
Her last name's not coming to me, but I think she's a prime example of that, because not only do we see her as Bellatrix Lestrange, but then we also see her as the innkeeper's wife in Les Mis, and the innkeeper and his wife are not the best of people, and so you see her in this role, and she does such an amazing job, as well as in Alice in Wonderland, she's the Queen of Hearts, and that, so again, bad guy all around. And then Disney decided it would be great to cast her as the fairy godmother in the live action Cinderella. And I cannot wrap my head around that one because I'm sitting there going, no, she's a bad guy. Like, she just plays bad guys so well that having her play anything else, my brain does not like to compute that.
See, who I was thinking of, who always comes to my mind, is not that I am condoning the first show that I am going to mention at all, but it's called Chuck, and it has Zachary Levi in it. It's actually, like, the first time that I really got to know Zachary Levi was watching the show. But anyways, there's this, like, I think he's a CIA agent, but his name's Casey, and he's, like, a good guy because he's a CIA agent. But then he comes into the TV show Bones, and he, like, kidnaps one of the main characters, and he's a bad guy, and my brain could not. I was just like, what? But...
I'm trying to think of what character you're talking about in Bones. Because I love Bones and watch Bones all the time, but I don't...
Well, he was, I think he was only in it for, like, one episode, and he kidnapped Brennan.
Mm.
I feel like she gets kidnapped a lot, so that doesn't help.
No.
But anyways...
I was like, kidnapping Brennan is a normal thing.
But anyways, back to our Emmas. So, yeah. We all know how much Amber and I love Emma Watson, which is why I was trying in vain to be like, come on, mention Emma Watson. Because...
I mentioned her!
You did! It just took you a while. Anyways, but because of... First of all, she's an amazing human being, but also she's just an amazing actress, and she is, of course, Hermione Granger and Belle from Beauty and the Beast, which I think we have mentioned before how they're pretty much the same character, and she's just amazing at what she does. Like, so many guys in the world would love to date Emma Watson, and so many girls in the world would love to be best friends with Emma Watson, and yeah. I would love to be best friends with Emma Watson. And if I had a boyfriend, and he was like, so I met Emma Watson, and she asked me out, I'd be like, dude, go for it. Like, it's Emma Watson, okay? Also, can I come on your date?
Yeah. Prior to Harry Potter, though, nobody knew who Emma Watson was outside of, like, you know, her friends and family. Because that Harry Potter was her first time ever appearing in the movie industry. She has since been in several different movies, but her most recent movie that she was in is Little Women, which I have not seen yet, sadly. I want to see it. I just have not come across it on any of the streaming services. So if anybody knows of a streaming service that I could watch that, please, 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 please let me know. Because... at first, when I saw commercials for Little Women, I was like, oh my gosh, they're remaking Little Women again. Because I feel like that's one that's been remade many times. But then I realized I was sitting there and actually started kind of listening to one of the trailers for it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's Emma Watson. So, and then she also played Belle in the live action, which I know a lot of people didn't think she did that great of a job. But when you consider the fact that prior to that moment, Emma Watson had never done singing. That was not something she had done. She'd never done voice lessons, and she'd never done training in that world. And so all that considered, I think she did a phenomenal job. Was she perfect and on pitch constantly and all that jazz? No. But... at the same time, the other thing is Belle is not known for her singing. She's known for her bookishness. And so I feel like that's why Emma was the perfect cast for that. Would I cast her as Snow White or the Little Mermaid? No, because those two are both known because of their singing voices. So I would not cast her as those because she's not... that good. She's not a good enough singer for those roles, but she was perfect for Belle.
I personally have problems with a lot of the Disney live actions. Don't get me started on, like, The Lion King and stuff like that. First of all, The Lion King was not live action, I just have to say, but okay, moving on. But I really did like Beauty and the Beast live action. It was way good. And I loved, like, the different changes that they made to the storyline and everything. And I just thought that they did a great job.
Yeah, I liked the fact that I hate getting into the controversial side of stuff and that. But I do feel like this is something that needs to be talked about. So Cinderella was the first action remake that Disney did. And... I've only seen it like once or twice. I don't really care for it. Like I said, I have a hard time wrapping my head around Helena being fairy godmother for one, and two, I just feel like it just wasn't that great of a movie. As well as, if we're being totally honest, Cinderella in general is not one of my favorites. So I've never really cared for that. But I remember when Beauty and the Beast were getting ready for that one, and I remember seeing some of the different interviews and stuff that went on. And so I was reading some of that stuff and learning about like some of the stuff that went into the Cinderella remake. And one of the things that the actress who played Cinderella said is she admitted that she went on a water diet so that she would lose enough weight for her waist to be small enough to fit in the dress. And I remember Emma flat out telling the producers that she was not going to change her appearance in any way, shape, or form to be Belle, that they needed to design the dress to fit her, not her to fit the dress. And I absolutely love that, because I feel like that right there is not only just a thing that should be done, but it's also showing all these girls who are watching these videos that it's okay to not be this perfect size zero. And I absolutely love that. And I love Emma Watson, and I love the character of Belle even before Emma Watson was Belle. But I feel like Emma Watson bringing Belle to life with that kind of a mindset was probably one of the most powerful things ever, and just made me fall in love with Belle and Emma Watson even more.
I agree. I didn't know that about Emma Watson, or even about the girl from Cinderella, but that's really cool, because Emma Watson is definitely somebody who stands up for what she believes in.
Yeah, she also, they originally were going to just, you know, have her be the bookish girl we know from the cartoon, but she kind of stepped in and was like, I feel like Belle needs a little bit more to her character than just books. And so when it came down to it, she insisted that, you know, she was going to be just as knowledgeable on inventions as her father is, and that that was going to be part of Belle's character. And I absolutely loved that, because I do think it kind of helped round out that character a little bit more and make her more than just the girl who likes to read. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I did like that she kind of made that little change and helped round Belle out and make her a little more relatable to everybody.
And we obviously can't talk about Emma Watson without talking about Hermione Granger, which we have talked endlessly about Hermione Granger in the past, because she's just amazing. Like, Harry and Ron would not have survived without Hermione. And how Emma brought Hermione to life was just phenomenal. And for some reason, the only thing, like, bit of knowledge that I'm thinking of when it comes to Harry Potter and Emma Watson is, like, she, I don't know if I want to say, like, loved her role so much, because I'm sure she did, but that's not, like, where I'm getting at. But she actually memorized all three of their lines for the first movie, and I think maybe the second. So there are times in the movie that she says, I haven't found him yet, where you can actually see her mouthing along with either Rupert or Daniel, because she knows their lines. And that is such a Hermione thing to do.
Well, the other thing that I remember is the director for the first movie, with how they had done like the casting of the Golden Trio, they took one of the scenes where they're looking at the book in the library about Nicholas Flamel, and that, and Hermione is like, I checked this out weeks ago for a bit of light reading. That scene, they took and did that scene, and they did that with like several different options of the Golden Trio. Like, they took kids' heads and tried different combos, and they just said that when they did that combo of Rupert Grint, Daniel Radcliffe, and Emma Watson, it just felt genuine and felt like they seemed to, like, just click, even though they had not met each other, like, prior to that moment type thing. And then one of the things that the director did was he wanted to see, like, if they really were a good fit and not just a fluke kind of click. And so he gave them an assignment to write a paper. And Emma Watson showed up with, like, this thick 20-plus page essay. Harry showed up with, like, a page, and, well, Daniel Radcliffe showed up with, like, a page or two, and then Rupert Grint showed up with nothing and was like, I forgot to even that we had been given that assignment type thing. And that is so on point for each of their characters.
Yes, it is. And it just wouldn't be the same without them. In a later episode, we are going to bring up the fact that HBO has come out and said that they are making a new TV show from the Harry Potter movies, and we'll get into this a whole lot deeper, like I said, later, but I am excited for it, but at the same time, it's really sad to me because we won't be able to have Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson as the Golden Trio, because obviously they are not 11 anymore.
Well, so I don't know that this will happen. And again, we're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth, but I can't help but wonder. And part of this would have to do, quite honestly, with who they end up casting as the Golden Trio, if they could pull this off or not. But the, like, last chapter, which I'm assuming would be the last episode, where it's in the future and they're taking their kids, I think it would be awesome to have that episode have Rupert, Daniel, and Emma. Just saying. Cause
I think that'd be really great, too.
They would be the correct age, probably, for pulling that off. So I think that would be kind of awesome if they did that, just saying. But
that is 7 years in the future. If they were to, like, start filming, like, right now, it'd be about 7 years in the future when that would come out.
It'd probably be more, because it's probably going to take more than a year to just do one season.
True.
So
moving from Emma Watson, which, as we all know, we could do a whole entire episode of her and be like, okay, we good. But now I really want to talk about Emma Thompson, because I have learned a lot about Emma Thompson, a lot more than I originally knew, which was I knew the name and that was pretty much it, preparing for this podcast. So first of all, Emma Thompson is Professor Trelawney, which is really cool. And I also feel like, going back to how we were discussing how she could be anybody, and I feel like also look differently, you just, like, you think of Professor Trelawney, and then you think of other people that she is well known for, like Mrs. Potts, also in the live action Beauty and the Beast, and you're like, they don't necessarily look the same, nor are they the same personality. But she did a really great job at being both of them.
Yes, she did a fantastic job. To kind of jump back a little bit, her first ever appearance in the screen world, we'll call it, because her first appearance was a TV show that was called There's Nothing to Worry About, and that was in 1982, and that's the first time she ever appeared on the screen. And then her most latest movie is Matilda the Musical, where she plays Mrs. Trunchbull. And this is one that, well, yes, I have seen her play a bad guy, which we'll get into. I just don't know that I can wrap my head around the fact that she plays Trunchbull, because that just seems a lot more extreme hands-on bad guy than she's ever done.
I mean, Trunchbull literally takes a kid by her braids and throws her across the yard. I mean, I haven't seen the musical, so it might not be as violent, but the original Matilda, that's what happened.
In the movie, that's what happened. So, like, the original movie. But, yeah, so she, the first time she appeared in Harry Potter as Professor Trelawney was in Prisoner of Azkaban. So, the first two movies, we weren't graced with her presence, which I find kind of sad, because, you know, it's Emma Thompson. She's amazing, and I just love her. So, I would have loved to have more of her, even though Trelawney is a very out there, weird weird person, and I don't know if I really like Trelawney. I love Emma Thompson enough that I would say I wish Trelawney had a little more screen time.
And I believe that going back to the whole Harry Potter series TV show, I feel like Emma Thompson could come back and be Professor Trelawney.
One of the TikToks I saw, I think it might have been one you sent me, is that it is rumored, slash that was a fan cast, I don't know which, that she might actually come back as Professor Trelawney. So,
she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
And then another movie that I talk about all the time, mostly because I'm one of those people that likes to talk about the underdog movies, she was Captain Amelia in Treasure Planet. Or I'm pretty sure that they pretty much just call her Captain the whole time. And yep. I didn't know that. Captain Amelia is like one of my favorite characters in that movie because she's just so sassy and she doesn't take crap from anyone. And let's be honest, that's all I need in a favorite character is someone who's sassy and doesn't take crap from anyone.
Exactly. So I agree. Captain Amelia is amazing. That's one I did not know was Emma Thompson. I knew some of her other roles, but she's one that she can make her voice sound a little bit different. And that, so she's one that is able to voice different characters and you probably wouldn't know it. Versus, even though she can change her looks, I know her face well enough to be able to be like, oh, hey, that's Emma Thompson. So I did not know that she was Captain Amelia. And I did not know that she is also in Brave, and she voices Eleanor, who is Merida's mother.
Queen Eleanor.
Yep.
I also didn't know that. So if you think about it, this is going to sound so stupid, but the person who voiced Captain Amelia voiced Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for some reason, just boggles my mind, which is why I had to say it out loud.
Yeah, like I said, and I think she's one that can change her voice enough that you wouldn't really realize it's her voicing that character.
And also, still in the Disney hemisphere, which is pretty much all the rest of the movies that we're going to talk about from her, but she plays P.L. Travers in Saving Mr. Banks, and if you haven't seen Saving Mr. Banks, first of all, I highly recommend it. But second of all, P.L. Travers is the author of Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And so in order for her to be okay with Disney taking Mary Poppins and making a movie out of it, she went to California and hung out with Walt Disney and I can't remember their names, the something brothers who do all the music, and they're like super famous, and I can't remember their names. But anyways, she hung out with them and everything in order to make sure that Mary Poppins was to her liking, which it was not. And it's a really cool, it's kind of a sad movie. I really like it because Walt Disney is in it. And I mean, yes, it's not really Walt Disney, it's Tom Hanks. But I just love like what you get to learn about the Disney company as well as Walt Disney himself.
Probably one of my favorite like scenes, and that is when they tell Travers that they're casting Dick Van Dyke as Bert, and she's like, no, and she like threw this massive fit because she thought Dick Van Dyke was too much of a comedian to be able to play that role. And I just kind of found that funny that she threw such a fit over Dick Van Dyke.
We all can't even, like, think about Bert without thinking about Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I love Dick Van Dyke.
Speaking of Mary Poppins, and I'm sure I've said this before, but a really cool fact that I just love about Mary Poppins is they knew that they wanted Julie Andrews to play Mary Poppins. And I think it was Mary Poppins. It might have been The Sound of Music. But, you know, she's in both of them, so it doesn't matter. But they're like, hey, we want you to play this part. And she's like, yeah, I'm pregnant. And they're like, that's okay. We can wait. And they literally waited for her to give birth before they started filming because they really wanted Julie Andrews to play Mary Poppins. Pretty sure it was Mary Poppins. Anyways. But my favorite scene from Saving Mr. Banks is when Walt takes her to Disneyland. And it's just because I'm like, I want to go to Disneyland with Walt Disney. Like, can you imagine? I would just be asking so many questions. I'd be like, so what was your thoughts when like you created this? And what about this? And oh, it would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. So we kind of already touched base on this a little bit. She was Mrs. Potts in Beauty and the Beast, which kind of just brings us full circle. Like, there's still other stuff she's in that we'll talk about, but kind of brings us full circle because you've got Emma Watson and Emma Thompson in Harry Potter, and then you've got them in the same movie on the Disney side. And so I'm like, that it just makes my heart happy.
Sure that they loved it. Like, honestly, I don't know if these two get along or not, but let's just pretend that they do get along. And then they find out that they're going to be in the same movie again. I'm sure they were just ecstatic.
Yeah. And then, so the last Disney movie we're going to talk about that Emma Thompson appears in is the more recent Cruella, where we meet young Cruella and kind of get to know Cruella's backstory, which I absolutely love that movie. Even though I've only seen it once, because I don't get much of an opportunity to watch movies when my child is not around. So, I've only seen it once, but it was probably one of my favorite movies. And Emma Thompson plays the Baroness, who turns out to be Cruella's mother.
A very horrible woman.
Yes. Which is, like, why I said, you know, she can play a bad guy and she can do a really good job at it because the Baroness is a horrible person. But even with how horrible the Baroness is, I still think that Trunchbull is worse, and so I still have a hard time wrapping my head around Emma Thompson playing that type of a bad guy. But
to our listeners, if you have seen Matilda the musical, let us know what you think about Mrs. Trunchbull, because
yeah,
we're curious, and honestly, I don't know what it's on. I know that Amber said earlier, she was telling me before we started, that it's probably on Netflix, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then I feel like we can't talk about Emma Thompson without stepping outside of our normal realm of Harry Potter and Disney and mentioning Nanny McPhee, because I think that is one of her most well-known characters, and I absolutely love Nanny McPhee. I think Nanny McPhee is awesome. Also, in Nanny McPhee, we do have, I think it's in the second movie, we do have Maggie Smith. So we do get to see Maggie Smith and Emma Thompson together again, which I think is just awesome. And I feel like there might be other characters that cross paths and Nanny McPhee that crossover into our Harry Potter world, but I can't remember right off.
Show you how I have not seen Nanny McPhee. She plays Nanny McPhee, right?
Yes.
Okay. Also, this random fact came into my head, and I feel like it was on one of the Harry Potter fan pages, and it just shows up every once in a while. It's like, where it's like, I can't believe this person was married to this person, and wasn't she at one point in time married to the guy who played Professor Lockhart?
So I can't remember if that was, like, in a movie that they were married or if that was real life, but I do know that it was, no matter what, she was married to the guy who played Lockhart, either in a movie or in real life. I can't remember which. But Lockhart cheated on her with the actress who plays Bellatrix.
Which isn't the actress who plays Bellatrix married to...
I don't know.
To the guy who... Tim Burton. To Tim Burton.
I don't know right off, yeah. She might be.
Or they were married or something like that, because I've seen things that, like, makes fun of how Tim Burton always pairs his best friend, which was Johnny Depp, up with his wife, which was Helena. I could be totally wrong, though, so...
Yeah.
Don't quote me there. But, yeah, so I learned a lot about Emma Thompson through this, and I apologize that I did not know a lot about her beforehand, but... Now that I know more about her, okay, let's be honest though, there are only like a handful of actors and actresses that I know their names. Otherwise, I see them in movies and I'm just like, oh, hey, it's that one guy from that one movie and he plays this guy in that movie, but I could not tell you his name.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I was with Emma Thompson. I mean, honestly, I didn't even put together that she was Mrs. Potts and Trelawney until, like I said, I was doing the Instagram post for their birthday. So I think that's really cool, though.
Yeah, she is pretty good at being able to change her appearance up enough to kind of surprise you. And that's so that you're like, wait, what? That person and that person are the same person? So.
But please let us know what you guys thought of this episode and what you... Think of Emma Watson and Emma Thompson. Their last names almost rhyme, guys. I'm just saying. And also, let us know what you guys want to hear us talk on. Because we do still have plenty of ideas and things that we've talked on before that we can expand on even more. Because who doesn't love our great tangents? But we also want to do what you guys want us to do.
Yeah. So I went ahead and I Googled it while you were talking, and yes, it was, she was actually married to the actor who played Gilderoy Lockhart.
Also, I'm pretty sure that he directed one of the Avengers movies, because I've seen something about that. And then, yeah, like, the joke is, but did he really, though, or did he just pretend to? So.
Well, did he really, or did he obliviate the... actual director and pretend that and put his name on instead. But
anyways, yes, please let us know what you guys think. And do you have any final words, Amber?
Have a magical week.
Bye.